At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever and wherever it is that you're listening to us, we want to thank you in advance. We as fans have always appreciated your input as fellow fans. When you're happy, we're happy. When you're upset, we are too, but sometimes we're just a little bit more honest. We are the Bastards of Boston Baseball. You can find us on Twitter at Bastards_Boston. I'm your host, Charlie Smith, coming to you from Los Angeles, California. You can find me on Twitter at Smith_MLB. Our other hosts for this wild card predictions episode are Terry Cushman, coming to us from Myrtle Beach in South Carolina by way of Windham, Maine, and Jason Kelly, coming to us from Canton, Massachusetts. Jason, how are you doing? Where can the fans find you on Twitter/X?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, getting ready for some playoff baseball. Pretty excited for it, even though the Red Sox aren't in it, but still a good time. If you want to find me on Twitter, you can find it at Color of the Iris.
Spelled the British way, the fun way, for those that have not heard us before. O-U-R. And right. Terry, how are you doing? Where can the fans find you on Twitter/X?
I am doing excellent. I am excited about playoff baseball, as I always am. And I can be found on Twitter at CushmanMLB.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Terry and Jason. Thank you both for joining us for this wonderful wildcard predictions episode. Terry, we're going to have you lead us off with the first series. We have the Texas Rangers going up against the Tampa Bay Rays. Who do you got going up in this series?
I think this is one of the easier matchups to pick. Texas is just a mess right now. They're going to have Jordan Montgomery going game one against Tyler Glasnow. That is a very good matchup, and that game, you know, could go either way. But after that, it gets pretty dicey. Nathan Eovaldi has been terrible as of late. 7 earned runs in his last outing, a 7.18 ERA since the All-Star break. We've got TBD, to be determined, from Tampa, presumably against Dane Dunning, who has also had not great of a run since the All-Star break. But most notably here, the Texas Rangers don't seem to know who their closer is. They've really struggled in the ninth inning this year. Aroldis Chapman has done the bulk of the work, but he's had his ups and downs. They've had Will Smith take a shot at it. He's struggled a little bit. So has Jose Leclerc. So I just feel like the Tampa Bay Rays are the better balanced team. I'd give a slight edge probably to that Texas Rangers offense. But Tampa's got plenty of, you know, of offense of their own. I mean, Yandy Diaz, probably a top 10 MVP year, by far the best of his career. Josh Lau has been, you know, a force this season with Tampa. Jose Siri has been good. And then you have Mr. October from the Rays, Randy Arozarena. I have to go with the Rays here, and I'm not even worried about this one.
Jason.
I've got the Rays as well, and a lot of it has to do with the home field advantage, the fact that if it gets to all three games, they will all be in Tampa. The Rays are insanely good at home. They have a .654 winning percentage at home, so absolutely one of the best home records in baseball. I think that their pitching is going to hold up pretty well with Glasnow there leading it off. And Texas, just they've had too many injuries and too much slippage in this last month and a half to really, for me to feel good about them. You know, they don't have John Gray. They obviously don't have Max Scherzer anymore. So their pitching took a big hit injury wise. You know, Tampa's mostly healthy. The only guy they're missing is Brandon Lau, which is a big bat to come out of their lineup. But you know, as Terry pointed out, they've still got a Rosarena, they still got Yandy Diaz. They can still score a lot of runs. They're still the number four offense in baseball. Texas is number three. So both these teams can hit. I just think that the Rays pitching is going to be able to hold down the Rangers a little bit better. And I just think Tampa is the more functional unit right now. And the fact that they're in the trough where they just dominate for this entire series, I think they'll come away with it pretty easily. So I'm taking the Rays as well.
Yeah, the Rays probably, I think, are one of the only two teams that hit the point of just absolute crap show situation with the Wander Franco saga. The only other team that had one that was really bad were the Dodgers with Urias just having another complete screw up and ruining his career with Major League Baseball. Tampa Bay got all of their injuries and bad situations out of the way to start the season. They lost two or three starters pretty quickly and have been able to really rally and figure themselves out. No one thought that Zach Eflin was going to do what he did. Tyler Glasnow, we already know. Aaron Civale has had moments of being good, but this year he's been much better than that. I just can't bet against Tampa Bay right now. They seem to be able to find gold in places that, you know, only like the Braves seem to be able to do. And they have this left fielder by the name of Randy Rosarena, who you can never count out. So I think this is one of the pretty easier of the series to call. I don't think Texas is going to win a game here. I think it's going to be 2-0 pretty sweet, pretty quick. The next series that we've got coming up, we got Toronto playing at Minnesota, which is pretty wild considering Minnesota's really only in there for the fact that they're in the AL Central. But Terry, who do you have winning this series, Toronto at Minnesota?
This is a tougher series to predict than I anticipated. The matchups are really good. Basically, across the board here, you got Kevin Gausman and Pablo Lopez in game one, Jose Barrios and Sonny Gray in game two. This game will be at Target Field in Minnesota. The Twins, the third place division winner, so the weakest of the three division winners, is actually in the wild card round. It's kind of goofy if you think about it, but that's the way it's set up. And the big bugaboo here for the Twins is they've lost 18 straight postseason games. That's like ungodly. And the New York Yankees have been the team that have done most of that damage to them. At least three playoff series they've faced in that span. It's a tough call here. It really is. It's got basically the best pitching across the board in any series right now. The matchups are really tough. The thing I struggle with the most is I don't know where the offense is going to come for Minnesota. With the Blue Jays, you have Bo Bichette. You've got George Springer, one of the most experienced postseason players, you know, in Major League Baseball, you know, with all those Astros runs and, you know, Vladdy Jr., that kid, I forget his name, came up. He was their number 28th ranked prospect. Did a lot of damage to us in the series where they swept us. I forget his name. But I just, with the Twins, I don't know where the offense is going to come from. You've got Max Kepler. You know, Carlos Correa, who's definitely had a bit of an off year. The one edge that the Blue Jays definitely have here is the bullpen. So I'm going to give them the edge. I think it will go three games. I think the Twins will win one of them. I think it'll be a competitive series. Given the fact that the Blue Jays have underachieved so bad the last couple of years. I mean, this is the best team on paper, in my opinion, as far as American League teams in the playoffs. It's the best team, but I just, it's hard to not have trust issues, but I'm going to give them the edge here, even though it's in Minnesota. And 2-1 Toronto.
Jason.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going the same way. I'm taking Toronto to win this series. The Twins are too banged up. They had so many injuries late in the season. Correa's not 100%. Royce Lewis, who's one of their better young players, he's not 100% either. They're really going to have to depend on their pitching just being complete shutdown, you know, just really holding Toronto, you know, to no runs. And I think Toronto just has too good of an offense, and that's not going to happen. Toronto's also a very good road team, so I'm not worried about them being on the road. They actually have better splits on the road this season than they do at home. And they're the healthier team, and I believe in their starting pitching a little bit more. Like, I don't believe in Sonny Gray, you know, delivering a must-have postseason performance when you really need it from him. So I just think there's too much going on with the Twins offense. I don't think they're going to be able to keep up. Toronto's going to come out swinging, and they're going to score a lot of runs. And they've got a good starting rotation and a good bullpen to nail it down for them. So, and then the last thing, really, it's an intangible, but the Minnesota Twins exist to be eliminated from the playoffs. That's just who they are. That's their recent history. Terry pointed that out. I never believe in the Twins when it gets to the postseason, no matter what kind of regular season they've had. And quite frankly, their regular season was fine, but they played in the worst division in baseball. So of course they're here. It's kind of by default. You know, Toronto, I just think, is the more complete team. And again, Twins are just too banged up. You know, there's too many injury concerns there. So I'm going to take Toronto winning it 2-0.
2-0. Okay. I actually think it's going to be Toronto 2-0. I don't think anyone can sleep on any of Jason's picks. If for those of us listening that have been around for at least a year, Jason was the only person who picked Philadelphia to go the distance. So credit Jason there. I don't know how you can bet against Toronto in this series either, even though Vlad Guerrero and Bo Bichette have three straight years of kind of the numbers kind of dwindling down. The real only saving grace that Minnesota had is currently on the IL. Royce Lewis is out. Not really a scare without him in there. He was really the only bit of relevance for this entire team. No one else scares me. For their pitchers, as far as they're concerned, outside of Duran in the bullpen, Bailey Ober is good. Sonny Gray, I don't know what I'm going to get. Pablo Lopez has been insane. Joe Ryan can be great. The problem is, if they don't pitch great for whatever reason, where is your run support going to be coming from? Toronto has multiple options as far as that's concerned. On top of the fact that you got Kevin Gausman, you've got Jose Berrios, and you've got Chris Bassett. And I'm not betting against Kevin Gausman. I think Bassett's going to be the fun game to watch, but Jose Berrios is going to be facing his former team. And that's going to be the one game for me that I'm going to be paying the most attention to, because I really don't think they have any chance against Gausman. I do, however, think there's a chance that they could best Berrios in a revenge game. You left us, or you're no longer with us, and we're going to try to get you back, and we'll just pray that game three goes our way. Unfortunately, it won't. But I'm going to go Toronto 2-1 in this series just because of the sheer power. I mean, if anything else. T, anything you want to add?
Yeah, the kid, I couldn't remember his name, Davis Schneider, you know, had a upper 200s batting average and a 404 on base. Just kind of an out-of-nowhere prospect that just got called up and made the most of it. Another guy who could be like an unsung hero, it seems like you have this tenured veteran player every offseason that does make an impact, and that could be Brandon Belt. It's a very deep lineup in Toronto, and for Minnesota to have any chance, they got to hope most of those guys fall asleep and their bats just wake up. They've got nobody, really. They've got Kepler and Correa and just a bunch of mediocrity throughout their lineup. Joey Gallo is in their lineup, you know, so I'd be a little less shocked. I've talked myself into it, and you guys have helped with that. But Toronto's just got such a nasty, team on paper.
Schneider is going to have to really wake up, though, because like you mentioned, he was hitting the cover off the ball, was hitting 370 in the middle of September, and then went into an 0-for-31 slump, striking out two times or worse in 5 of 6 games. He went 0-for-31 to finish up September, and mixed that with 15 strikeouts. Not pretty, not sexy. So that's kind of like the rookie woe of someone who's still kind of figuring it out. He's only 24 years old. And even if he finishes the year, you know, now, which it's possibly over, we're not going to see, we don't know if he's going to be starting and whatnot. 8 homers, 20 RBIs in 35 games is pretty damn good. So if he can come back and pick up some of that magic where he left off, yeah, there's a chance that he could be pretty special. But I'm not going to put my eggs in the Davis Schneider basket, not over some of the names that you mentioned, Terry. I'm very curious to see how George Springer does in this series. I really am. And I don't like any of the Astros and the former Astros. I boo all of them. I hope they all do poorly. But George Springer wearing Toronto has at least made me forget a little bit that he played for that crappy team in Texas.
He's got Correa on the other side, so it's an Astro versus Astro.
I hate him too.
I hate Correa worse. I Springer never really bothered me.
Yeah, Springer I feel was not as visible as some of the other names. And when he left, I think it helped his case a little bit, but that's just my two cents on it.
Right.
Our third series featuring our first National League series here, we have Arizona facing the Milwaukee Brewers. Terry, who do you have winning this series?
So the Brewers got the news today, or perhaps just confirmation, that Brandon Woodruff is probably going to miss the remainder of the year. He's not expected to pitch in the postseason. Conceivably, I guess, if the Brewers went to the World Series, maybe there would be a slim chance he could pitch. But fear not, Freddie Peralta, very solid. Wade Miley, I think, is the most underrated middle of the rotation pitcher in MLB in the last 5 years. He has just been absolutely phenomenal. All three of those guys, and we don't know which order they're going to go in. I'm guessing Peralta would go game two. But all three of them, Burns, Peralta, Miley, they all have postseason ERAs under 3. And then you go over to the other side of the coin. Brandon Pfaadt, who's a young pitcher, spent most of the year just getting thumped. Wasn't a good one for him. He's got Corbin Burns in game one. That's a wash to me. Then you got Zach Gallen, game two, presumably against Peralta. Hard to not favor Gallen in that one. Then Merrill Kelly and presumably Wade Miley, excuse me. Kelly hasn't pitched that great as of late. He could certainly, he could get it together, but I think the Brewers just have a really big edge here when it comes to pitching. And they've got more bats in their lineup than what the Twins would have in their respective matchup. I mean, Christian Walker, Corbin Carroll, Ketel Marte, Lourdes Gurriel. They've got that Moreno kid at catcher, but I don't know. Is he catching more than Carson Kelly? I'm not sure. But Moreno's numbers look pretty good. And then you've got, a solid veteran guy in Tommy Pham, who's basically put up the numbers you would expect him to. It's hard to not favor the Brewers here. Christian Yelich, he's not back to his MLB self, but he had a very solid year, basically a 20-80 year. A 370 on base, just really, really good inside the batter's box. Willy Adames, his numbers aren't super spectacular, but he could certainly have a big series. Contreras, catching, one of the better offensive catchers in MLB. So I'm gonna give the edge to the Brewers here. Probably in two games, I think. And they have one of the better bullpens. I think they've got the number two or number three bullpen in MLB right now. So I love both teams. I love the Red Sox connections with the Diamondbacks, and I've just always liked the Brewers for some reason. But edge to the Brewers, and they had a pretty good September as well.
Jason.
Yeah, this was a tough one for me because Arizona's kind of my team that I'm rooting for in the playoffs now. Really want to see them go far. I think they're an exciting young team, and they're only going to get better as the years go on. That said, they're just not coming into this matchup with a lot of firepower, particularly in their starting rotation. I mean, throwing Brandon Vaught game one against Corbin Burns is very white flaggish, which I find a little weird. I think a lot of it is that they're hoping to steal.
Jason,
game one.
Your audio is going haywire.
Oh, it is.
I don't know. Yours never does that. Or is it Charlie? Weird.
Charlie's on mute.
No, man, I'm muted.
Or is it me?
Okay, yeah, no worries. Again, just them throwing Brandon Vaught game one, I think that's they're really hoping to steal one. They're hoping the offense jumps on Corbin Burns and they can kind of just get by. Because if that happens, if they're able to take game one somehow, Zach Gallen could deliver them the series win in game two. He's that good. I mean, he might be your NL Cy Young winner. So I think that's what they're hoping for. I can't bet against Corbin Burns, and not with their offense. They're a middle-of-the-road offense out there in Arizona. They've got some good, exciting players, but truthfully, neither of these teams are great offensively. Again, they're both dead middle of the pack in MLB, so it's really going to come down to the pitching, and I just think Milwaukee has more of it. You know, you got Burns game one, Peralta game two, and then if you want to go with either Miley, do that. They just have more options if it ever gets to that point. So, I think Arizona can steal one with the Zach Gallen game, but I think Milwaukee is just that. It'll be kind of a low-scoring series, but I think Milwaukee will do just enough to get it done. So I will take the Brewers 2-1.
I so badly want to pick Arizona for the reasons that Terry was talking about the connections with the Red Sox and whatnot, but I just can't do it. I just can't. And when you are facing Corbin Burns, to give yourself a real chance, it's Gallen or Kelly or bust. And the fact that Brandon Vaught is in there game one, that is a towel throwing game. You're putting in an absolute zero, in my opinion, a guy who has an ERA of almost 6, and you're expecting him with literally zero experience in the postseason, 19 career games of experience, 3 career wins. You're going to put that up against a Cy Young winner and hope that you get a win? It just doesn't make any sense. I think the Brewers are going to win 2 out of 3. They'll probably lose one. It won't be game one. But again, I think that, you know, game two, they might rest whomever they need to in order to go full out game three. Devin Williams, in my opinion, is one of the best closers in baseball. He could be the best closer in baseball. And their bullpen isn't too shabby either. They have a reliever named Abner Uribe, who really didn't have that much experience up until the last couple of months and really just came out of, like, nowhere. Young 20s, 23 years old, had an ERA under 2, also no playoff experience, but just dominated when called upon. Yeah, the occasional blip here or there like every other reliever, but I mean, the guy had a 1.26 ERA coming into the last couple games of the season. So I just, you know, I know that players like Rowdy Tellez just wish it was the Boston Red Sox they were facing. Christian Yelich lost a step, But Christian Yelich also has a lot of experience. And at the end of the day, I think that Milwaukee's going to be able to just overpower Arizona. Their pitching alone is going to be able to minimize the damage. If they want to pitch around certain people in Arizona, they're going to be able to do that. And they'll have the depth to withstand any attack, in my opinion, Arizona's going to be able to do for 27 innings. So at the very least, Milwaukee's walking out with one easy one. And then all they have to do is win one of two after that. So Milwaukee 2 out of 3. And just so I have everybody else, did we all say Milwaukee 2 out of 2 to 1?
I think it's going to be 2 to nothing, actually.
All right. You said so Milwaukee 2-0. Jason, you and I were both 2-1.
That's
all right,
correct.
Cool. Perfect. So the very final series that we have coming up is going to be Miami against Philadelphia. Terry, who do you have going?
Jason and I were talking about this prior to coming on, and I'm really uncomfortable with this. I mean, you would think the no-brainer would be the Phillies here, but the Marlins did win the season series, and their pitching has been very consistent all year long. Their bullpen isn't quite as good as the Phillies are. It's kind of crazy that Dave Dombrowski has a good bullpen. he had the number 27th ranked bullpen all the way through till game 6 of the World Series last year. That's what he took through the postseason. It's the number, I think, 7th or 8th bullpen in Major League Baseball right now. So I don't know what it is, but I think the Phillies are probably going to win game 1 with Zach Wheeler pitching. Aaron Nola has pitched pretty well in his last few starts, but his season has not been great. And it's been a walk year for him. He would have all the incentive in the world to figure it out and try to boost his value coming into free agency. The one thing that makes me nervous about the Marlins is Luis Arraez has only had one at bat since September 24th. He's won the batting title this year for the second year in a row with a 3.53 batting average. So if the Marlins are going to win, he's going to have to play. I'd be shocked if they don't at the very least DH him. But sneakily, I think they've got some guys in here that can do some damage. I mean, Jorge Soler, former World Series MVP, Jazz Chisholm is an electric factory. Brian De La Cruz basically had a 2080 season. Jake Berger has emerged as a pretty good hitter, 303 on the season with a 355 on base. I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm talking myself into the Marlins beating the Phillies in Philly here. I can just see, I mean, the Phillies have been there, and I hope I'm wrong because I'm rooting for the Phillies. I'm rooting for the Phillies. That's the team I want to win the World Series. I want Dave Dombrowski to piss the Red Sox off one more time, maybe light a fire under them as we go into free agency. But I think this Marlins lineup is sneaky and can do a lot of damage on the base pass with the bat. They've got a few guys that do hit for power, and I think they can blindside this Phillies team and win the series. So there you have it. I'll say Marlins in 3.
Wow. Jason, how are you going to top that spicy take?
By saying this, this was the easiest series for me to pick. To me, I don't think this is going to be that close. I think Philly is going to dominate this series. Philly is a very good home team. The Marlins are a bad road team. So there's one angle. Marlins are under 500 on the road this year. The biggest thing, though, is both of these teams have good pitching, but the Marlins are the 26th ranked offense in baseball. 26 in runs scored. They're the only team in the bottom 10 of offense that's in the playoffs. So they don't score runs. They've got some good hitters. Arias is a very good hitter. Jorge Soler can hit you a bomb here and there. Brian De La Cruz is a nice player. Jazz Chisholm's a nice player. He's had a bit of a down year, but, you know, good players, but they don't score runs. They don't manufacture a ton of offense. So I think that's going to be their biggest downfall. I think, you know, they're going up against Zach Wheeler game one. I could see him completely shutting them out. Aaron Nola game two is the one that you got to look at, because he didn't have a good regular season, but his September, the Phillies definitely ramped him down a little bit and then ramped him back up. He had a couple of starts where he only went four innings or 4 2/3, pitched well. Wasn't because he was getting lit up necessarily, but they were definitely keeping his pitch count down and his innings down. His last two starts, he went 6 innings both times and he pitched very well. So they obviously kind of cooled him off a little bit and then ramped him back up, and he looks like he's in playoff form. So I think Aaron Nola could actually pitch a very good game for them in game two. And the Phillies are the number eight offense in baseball. They score a lot of runs. They hit a ton of homers. Again, Marlins have very good pitching. Luzardo's a good pitcher. Braxton Garrett is a good pitcher. But I just don't think they're going to be able to do enough to hold down that Phillies offense. And I just don't trust Miami to score enough runs to stay competitive here. So I've got the Phillies winning it 2-0. I think they're going to walk away with this pretty easily.
Going third sometimes is difficult when you follow Terry or Jason, and this is no exception, because Terry, I don't know what beverage he had this morning. Usually he shows us what he's drinking, but today I didn't see it. I have an assumption I was wrong. It is a Red Bull indeed, ladies and gentlemen. He is drinking a Red Bull. Philly will win this series 2-0. How you can pick Miami, I think, is just adorable. Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola for a 1-2 punch. You mix that into the fact that you have Bryce Harper, you've got Trey Turner, you have Nick Castellanos, who's one of Terry Cushman's favorite baseball players, who is begging to have him join the Boston Red Sox. Terry, feel free to tell me to shut up if I'm wrong. I know you're not going to, because I know
trade
I'm right.
Chris Sale for him tomorrow.
We
could use a right-handed bat. I think he's got 3 years left on the deal.
Terry would sell his first child for Nick Castellanos, and he's not even going to have kids. So Castellanos, Schwarber, Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto is there. Our old fan favorite, Craig Kimbrell's there, Chicken Wing, and Matt Stromer there. I can't do it against either one of those two. But above all else, the one player that I'm actually really excited to see isn't someone that we're very familiar with. It's Christopher Sanchez, who towards the end of the season struck out 10 guys twice. So that's someone who gets no love and really no recognition. He struck out 10 Mets. He struck out 10 Braves over 7 innings. So I think that's going to be a name to look out for in the future. And I would not be surprised to see Christopher Sanchez jump up the rankings for the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm not going to go ahead and pick him as my Cy Young winner next year, but I would not be surprised to see him top 220 strikeouts next season. I think he has everything and more moving forward for Philly. Miami needs so much to go right for them. Jason already pulled up the fact that their schedule away was what? Less than 500? Probably
they
what?
Were 40 and 41 on the road.
Not really good enough. And against Philadelphia, this is going to be a team that packs that stadium night in. They're going to be selling fake tickets. It's going to be crazy in Philly. I can't even see Miami stealing one here. Not even being gifted it. Miami, they just don't have a chance. T, I'd love to know what you're drinking outside that Red Bull, because it can't just be that. Go ahead, T. Steal my thunder. Go ahead.
Just with the pitching matchups, Luzardo and Braxton, they've both pitched very well against the Phillies this year. 3 earned runs or less every time. I think they've got 4 starts between them. The other thing, too, that I didn't mention, Taijuan Walker and Ranger Suarez, one of those two would be the game 3 starter. They haven't had very good seasons, and they haven't been very good their last few times out. The Marlins would have Yuri Perez or Edward Cabrera going, and those two haven't quite been as bad as the two Philly pitchers, but they haven't been going deep into the games either, so not really a huge edge there. I would expect game three to be potentially a high scoring game. I've got the schedule right here, because like I said, the Marlins did win the season series against them. I'm looking for the wrong team though. So at Philadelphia in April, the Marlins took 2 out of 3. So let's go down to the next one here. Scrolling down. Looks like they played a lot of games late in the season. Bear with me. Oh, there's the other one. So they did drop 2 to the Phillies. Oh, that was a 4-game set. Yeah. The Phillies actually beat, the Marlins at home. They took 3 out of 4 in Miami. And then scrolling down just a little further here, they had 2 series pretty late. The Marlins, again, 2 out of 3 against Philly in Philly in early September. So they've won 4 out of 6 in Philly. As for their September numbers offensively, the Phillies are the number 11th ranked team. The Marlins are number 12, so very close in terms of offensive output. I'm immediately conceding this would be a very big upset, and the Phillies are heavily favored. But man, I mean, remember what the Indians did to the Red Sox in 2016? Just steamrolled us.
Sure.
Just caught us completely sleepwalking. I'm just wondering if that could happen here. I'm uncomfortable, and I just want that to be on the record. But if you guys, it's a win-win for me, because if the Phillies win, that's my team. Like I said, that's the team I ultimately want to win it all. So they'll still be in it. And do they play Atlanta after? I forget. The brackets are fixed, though. They don't rotate like the NFL. I wish they did. You know, I think the highest seeded team should play the lowest seeded team, regardless of how the brackets start out. But yeah, I won't even rub it in if the Marlins do pull this out. But it's uncomfortable for me.
I'll say this much: games 1 through 162 really don't matter in relation to the playoff games here. And you can win 110 games during the regular season. You could set a record in the history of the sport, like the Boston Bruins did in the NHL. And that hurt so much to see them get knocked. They should have waltzed through every team. It's hard for, you know, the teams that should win during the regular season don't always end up winning. And while Miami's had better numbers, overall, they were not even in my opinion, I don't think they were a top 8, top 9 team in baseball. I don't give them that. Philly, I still have above them by a couple of rungs. And if you were to, whatever reason, take out Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, either one of those two, I might say that they're close to being even. But the edge is so far in Philly's favor.
I'll say this about the Phillies, and this only occurred to me just the other day. They remind me a lot of the 2004 Red Sox in terms of personalities, roster makeup. To say Wheeler and Nola are your Pedro and Schilling might be a bit of a stretch, but they are both aces. I mean, we're definitely aces, and then, you know, you had, you know, Manny, Poppy, Millar, and what was another big bat on that 04 team? Drawn blanks. But on the Philly side of it, you've got Harper, you got Castellanos, Trey Turner, and Kyle Schwarber as well. The Phillies team is very veteran laden, I guess, and that's exactly what the 2004 team was. And then you look at 03 with the Red Sox, you can kind of say that's what the Phillies sort of experienced last year, even though they did get in the World Series. They came up short ultimately. And, you know, this year, if the Phillies were playing the Diamondbacks, done. Phillies in 2, you know, I just, there's something about this Marlins team that's just sneaky to me, and it makes me a little bit uncomfortable. That's all.
We're going to see. It's going to be interesting. So just for everybody's record here, Miami at Philly, Terry's got Miami 2-1, Jason and I, Philly 2-0, Arizona, Milwaukee, Terry 2-0, Jason and myself 2-1. Toronto at Minnesota, Terry and I are 2-1 in favor of Toronto. Jason going 2-0. And then Texas at Tampa Bay, I didn't catch both of your two. So, Terry, did you say Tampa Bay in two?
I would be 2-0 in that one, yeah.
And Jason?
Yeah, same here. Tampa Bay 2-0.
Yeah, same. All right, so we're calling that a pretty quick series there. 2-0 for all three of us. Anything else that either one of you gents want to add? Right on. Well, that is going to do it from all of us here tonight. We want to thank all of our first-time listeners and loyal listeners as well. We appreciate all of you and know full well that without you, we would not be where we are. Have a great night. Take care.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.